Hey, welcome to Faith Marketplace, where we equip individuals, entrepreneurs, small business owners with resources plus community to make a kingdom impact to glorify our mighty God while gaining inspiration from marketplace leaders. Hey, welcome back here to Faith Marketplace, where we equip, encourage, and actually inspire people to walk out their faith at work. Now imagine that, how to connect your faith at work. Now, this has been going on and it's exploded. We've been on 11 and a half, well, going on 12 seasons. I can't believe it. Over 800 interviews with people like my guest today talking about that exact thing. How do you do this? How do you really accomplish this and be able to go to work every day and either have your faith on display or display it in a way that is not controversial or anything, but it also brings forward, you know, people's curiosity to learn more. So today I have the privilege and honor of introducing you to Ben C. Beals, a reoccurring guest on the show after many years. She has a company called Ignite Transformational Living. She is a leadership trainer, coach, and the founder of Ignite Transformational Living. I would also say she is a John Maxwell certified coach, and we're going to get into that a little bit later as to some of this beautiful thing that she's created. Welcome, Bensie.
Thank you. Happy to be here, Bob.
Yes, and I love that smiling face. we've known each other a long time, but, you know, I don't think I ever asked you about a life verse or, a quote that really inspires you. So would you share that with the audience? And why is it important to you?
This truly is my life verse. And I think about it was even shared at my wedding, too. So it's Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hmm. That verse, I'm telling you, Bob, it really set in with me about 10 years ago. You know, there's so many verses and so many stages of your life. And still this one is so profound because it helps me to remember who I am and whose I am. You know, especially in the world that we live in, it defines us based on so many things. It defines us based on our past mistakes. It even defines us based on our religion, our college degree, you know, whatever it is. But God will open doors for you as he has for me that only he can open, you know, and we may not always find ourselves worthy. And I've been there, right? There's been certain things where I'm like, oh, the Lord isn't with me. That's my limiting belief, but he has shown up time and time again. So I am absolutely convinced in this verse that there's nothing that could separate me from the love of God.
Yeah, and folks, I know that for a fact because this lady, I'll tell you, she can get after it and she does. And especially for her testimony for the Lord, it is amazing. And I had the opportunity to be at her wedding, by the way. We'll talk a little bit maybe more about that, which was an awesome experience. But, in today's program, Bensie, what do you want the audience to take away out of our conversation today?
You know, it's funny. The last time we talked, I was in a different career. I was with Verizon for 18 years. And now stepping into this, I think one of the biggest things is to stretch yourself, to grow yourself.
Okay.
and asking yourself, because that was a big deal to walk away, right? And asking yourself, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? And that was something I had to ask of myself as I stepped into this. And of course, doing it with intentionality. So if I were to pick three things, it would be stretch yourself to grow yourself, asking yourself what you would do if you knew you could not fail, and then living life with intentionality.
I love that.
Are you looking for ways to increase your business? Are you hungry for business relationships of like mind and spirit? Welcome to G7 Networking with Purpose, where relationship comes before referral. Experience networking with God at the center via monthly meetings that invite interaction and connection. Immerse yourself in the proprietary G7 app, sharing leads, prayer requests, and increased visibility with the entire G7 network. Now, with over 40 chapters in 8 states and growing, we have multiple Chicagoland chapters, including new locations forming here and around the U.S. Visit www.g7networking.com for details and search for our chapter near you. G7 Networking is always looking for well-connected leaders of integrity and purpose looking for what's next. If this sounds like you, please reach out to us via our website at www.g7networking.com. G7 Networking with Purpose, where God is at the center of networking.
Let's get into the testimony, because that's going to set things up as to what started this ball rolling in the first place with you making this transformation, you know, from a major corporate career into now really into a calling that God's called you into. And so let's do that. Why don't you share with the audience? Because you do have something kind of unique that I want to share with the audience, too, that happened for you as far as a baptism goes, as I recall.
Gosh, you have a good long memory, Bob.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's certain things that stand out that you remember, you know, they're indelible. So why don't you share with the audience what's your story and what got you to where you're at?
You know, the Lord, his plan is so perfect, and he brings things in full circle in a way that we don't know until later in life. And that's kind of where I am now, because growing up, I remember there's two things I wanted to be. I wanted to be a teacher and I wanted to be a missionary, right? But of course, you know, sometimes those things don't pay the bills. So I got into corporate America and I sought after a trainer position, because day one orientation, I knew that's what I wanted to do. That was the teacher in me. And so I found myself excelling as a sales trainer, a customer service trainer, a leadership trainer, all of which, you know, relies on that self-awareness and communication. And after 8 years of that, you know, I found myself transitioning into a sales career. I climbed the corporate ladder using everything I knew from my training position. And during that time, I found myself leading and coaching others to success. And, you know, one of the things that John Maxwell has taught me is your message is the one that you live.
Yep.
So my faith was no secret, right? In fact, if anything, it was my secret sauce.
Yep.
So if you knew me, and I'm very transparent, you knew I loved my kids, talked about them all the time. And I love this other thing, right? I love my faith. I loved God. And I talk about God all the time too. And, you know, if I was facing a tough situation, I'd be like, man, I got to pray about this one. Right? And I was so serious. Like I wasn't even joking. And, you know, it was just so many times people they knew who to come to in those hard times because of that, because I was so open with it. And so having me pulled away and praying for people in corporate offices and being able to lead people to the Lord, and a very, very close friend of mine to this day, I was able to lead to the Lord. She got baptized and we're still close to this day. And so I think all of that really is just being that person, you know, leading in the way that of who you are and being that message. And so, you know, during COVID, the people element of my sales role was gone, right? I'm focusing on sales alone. And that's when the passion started to go away, because although I'm in sales, I was doing team builders, I'm coaching each other, I'm helping people get to the next level. That was what drove me, not necessarily the sale itself, right? And so my passion was dwindling, and I decided, you know, I loved John Maxwell when I used to train at Beck at Verizon, and Stephen Covey and some of the greats, but I know John Maxwell's leadership is based on faith, and we just have that same DNA. And so I got certified and I started coaching and holding personal development classes, you know, in the evenings and things like that. I told myself, you know, I'm going to give it a year or two and maybe I'll get at this full time. And then, you know, that's what I told God, right? I told God, you know, Lord, I'm just going to give it a year or two. Yeah. And he's like, no, I think you're going to start sooner than that. Because I find myself getting laid off over the summer.
Yeah.
And I took that as a clear directive. I took it as direction. Like, you know what? This is your assignment and you're going to press forward.
Yeah.
You know, and so since then, I dove headfirst into what I call my kingdom business, and I've held community-wide leadership events. I'm partnering with local schools and law enforcement to build up our next generation of leaders within our youth, and all of what I do is faith-centered. It's my why. It's my guiding force. When I'm, you know, one of the things that I ask, you know, I'm doing some work, you know, with some kids who had charges pressed against them. And I asked permission, like, hey, do I have permission to talk about faith? Because that is going to be what's going to elevate them, right? And you know, sometimes you have to ask. You just have to kind of straight out ask, like, is this okay? And so they gave me some tools and ideas on how I can kind of open that up.
Okay.
So, you know, it's going great. So in this new business, I'm learning on how to bring it in. And I tell you what, everything is faith-centered. I'm 6 months in. I've already led in directions completely opposite of what I originally thought that I was going into in my original plan. And so,
well, I can tell you on a regular basis, I make God laugh when I tell him my plans. So yes. Obviously he was laughing when you're telling him your plan, you know?
Yes. Okay. Because just to circle back around, you know, not only am I a teacher / trainer / coach, but I am indeed in the mission field, right?
Yep.
And that's originally imprinted on my heart so many years ago.
Well, we call that business ministry or a business-try. And
yes.
That's been around, actually a phrase that was coined by G7, which I'm a part of. And I love it because for a long time, we were talking about this, you know, the intersection of faith and work. And how does that work? And as you know, it's exploded across the country. And the revival's coming, folks. There's no question about it. Billy Graham's, you know, basically forward thinking of what would happen is that the revival in this country is going to be in the marketplace. And we're seeing it all over the marketplace. And Bensie's just an unbelievable example of that. But let's dive in here a little bit about this whole. Now, first of all, I want to ask you, what was the inspiration for the name of your company?
Oh, gosh. You know, do you know the starfish story, Bob?
No.
Where there was a boy walking along the beach and he was running back and forth from the beach to the water, beach to the water. And a man approached him like, kid, what are you doing? And there were thousands of starfish. And he said, oh, I want to save the starfish before the tide comes in. Otherwise, they're all going to die. And the man said, kid, don't you know there's thousands of starfish? You can barely make a difference for any of these. And the boy just looks down and he picks up a starfish, throws it in the ocean and said, well, it made a difference for that one. And so someone created a starfish moment for me in my life. And I don't think we have enough time for that.
Yeah.
But someone did that for me and they ignited just transformational living for me.
Okay.
And so I was going on my naming journey. I was just kind of thinking about when did that transformation happen for me? And that's what I realized, you know what? That's what I want to do for other people. I want to ignite transformation within them. And that's where the name came from.
Well, before I get on this subject and really dig into this a little bit, I teased the folks about it, something special that happened to you, your first baptism. Why don't you share that? Where was that at?
Well, my first baptism actually was when I was 9 years old. Okay. And so that was at a church and I got baptized, but a lot happened after 9 years old. Okay. Let me keep it real. And so life happened and I made some mistakes and I backslid and the Lord was always with me, which goes back to that life verse of mine. And so in my 30s, I wanted to, and I had been following God way before I rebaptized, but I wanted to do that action again because I did it so when I was so young.
Yeah,
and
right.
So I took a trip into Israel with some family members of mine and I got baptized again in the Jordan River.
I love it. That is an experience, you know, that where the original baptisms take place. Okay, so let's get into this, you know, the Ignite. And obviously you set that up great from the standpoint of where to come from. And I love the starfish story, by the way.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end, if I have the time, I'll tell you a really cute story about a little girl. Anyway, which is probably a lot like you, as a matter of fact. It'll probably be very, very much like you as a little girl. So let's talk about what is the product and the service that you provide? We've hinted at that, but why don't we let the audience know more specifically, what is it you provide for folks?
It's professional development training, you know, okay. Leadership training, professional development, communication, anything under that umbrella, and business coaching for businesses, schools, churches who want to elevate their teams and increase results, right? So it includes a lot. I told you I was in sales for a long time.
Yep.
So leadership development, sales, communication, teamwork, and just so much more.
Yep. You know, I ask this a lot because, as you know, there's a lot of sameness with businesses, especially small mid-market businesses, coaches, and everything else. So what makes yours unique?
You know, I think the fact that I not only can be the coach or the trainer or the speaker and help motivate and close gaps, but I also teach leaders how to effectively coach. I'm not always going to be there. They've got to know how to do it. So there are, you know, there's a way, there's a methodology on how to do it. And that's also something that I provide on how to coach. And I want them to be able to do that when I'm away. And I think that's a little bit of a difference there.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I've been involved in train the trainer. I know you have too, you know, training yeah. other people to do it. And that's what I call spiritual multiplication. Because when you think about that, the more that you can extend that and the more teachers that you can grow up, you know, and coaches you can grow up. Because I think it's one of the most underutilized skills and undertrained skills in this country. I know specifically for sales, because, you know, I've been in sales a long time. We have a whole sales management program. And I can tell you absolutely most sales managers in this country's butts and seats have never been trained to be a coach. And sales exactly. coaching is akin to professional athletic coaching, but with a few twists, you know, you know, and so what you bring to the party, I love what you said, that that is very unique, that you're setting up for people because you're not always going to be there. And why should you be? If you can take and multiply that out, that extends the capability that much further. So what kind of problems do you typically help people solve?
Yeah, you know, lack of productivity. You know, you got right. lack of productivity. We talked about sales, decrease in sales, what's going on. And then a lot of times there's team conflict. Let's face it, where there are people, there are bound to be problems, but there's yep. a way to resolve that in a right way. No buy-in, you know, lack of culture, yep. churn, customers are leaving, attrition, low morale, all of that. So things that I, both training and leadership coaching can help elevate in all of those areas.
Why don't you share with the audience, if you could, just an example of things, whether that be when your Verizon days or currently, you know, how mm-hmm. you've been able to see that kind of a transformation in somebody or team or whatever that was really having some of these struggles you're talking about.
I'm actually working with a company right now, and they had no sales structure. It's a small business, right? And so companies like Verizon, they're able to, yep. you know, have a whole training division, and they're, you know, have a lot of money to pour into this, but small businesses often do not. And so they're not getting sales, and they're just plateaued. They don't know why. And so they're like, can you help us? And so, you know, they don't have an online presence. They don't have social yep. media. They don't have LinkedIn. There's so many things they don't have today, but also they're not doing that daily grind, right? They're not making those calls, and they don't even know how to make those calls. They're old school. They're used to going in and talking to people. So, I mean, when I tell you we started at the fundamentals, it's a 12-week program that I took them to. I'm telling you what, I'm not even kidding. It's the highlight of my week because they are so, it's like the innocence of them, right? Like
exactly.
they have it. And so just talking through their personality styles at first and helping them to get more comfortable, because everyone just shies away from sales, and helping them understand, like, hey, listen, we're salespeople on a daily basis. We want people to buy into us, right? We want people to like us. That's all it is. People buy from people they like.
Yep.
And all the different elements of that over the course of 12 weeks, they've already increased their sales just by awareness of things that they weren't thinking about before, but also that intentionality that I was talking a little bit about. They didn't have any of that. It's all of these things, like, they know what they need to do and what they want to do, but they're just not doing it. And a lot of it is because they don't have a process in place.
Yep.
They don't have the right tools in place. So once you bring that together and help them structure it correctly, now they're in motion and they're getting to where they need to be.
Okay. So let's bring it a little bit more globally here, you know, and I love this because Olivia helped craft a question that I think is fantastic. In today's world, what is trending on in the market, your field, and mm-hmm. And has made you successful or think differently?
You know, I think it's a high level of attrition. I think we all know that, right? I think it's a revolving door in the marketplace today. And I think there's a lot of reasons for this. I think that we've got to consider the lack of values, even mm-hmm. on both sides. Right? On both sides. I think it's a lack of values for the person going into the job. They want something easy. They want to get paid, and which isn't right, right? We got to go in here and we got to give our best. And then on the opposite side of that, the folks that's hiring, we're hiring a number. We're not hiring a person. Are we asking the right questions to get this person hired? Are their values lining up with the values of our team or organization? And if that's not defined, we've already got a broken process. And then also, understanding the wants and needs of a new kind of diversity.
Yeah.
I think about generational diversity a lot. I think it's very real. And I hear a lot like, oh, these new people coming in here.
Yep.
And it's true, but we have to seek to understand it.
Yep.
In order to increase it, right? And use it as a competitive advantage. What are these young people good at that I'm not good at? Social marketing, you know? I mean, I'm telling you, getting into this new business, I'm like, oh my God. I asking? I'm asking young people.
Yep.
And so we've got to learn how to lead. We also have to learn how to lead generations that are not our own. Yep. Sometimes we're leading up, sometimes we're leading down, and we've got to build leaders for the generations to come. So I've been forced to think about this as a leader, trying to retain young talent back when I was a leader. Right. And I'm someone also who was impacted by bias in the marketplace and felt led to leave an organization to the lack of values. So I understand both sides of this. And I think it is very important that organizations start thinking a little bit differently of who they are, where their values are, why are they hiring, who they're hiring, and figuring out ways to build upon their culture to be able to match it with the different diversities that's coming in. So that way they don't leave.
You know, that leads into it. You know, I'm a big fan of John Maxwell's, and leads into his latest book, right? 16 Laws of Communication. And I kept shaking my head when it came. I'm thinking, John, that's one of the most vital things in leadership, for God's sakes. Why are you waiting, you know, so long to do this? Because I think that that is the number one problem. I believe it, because across the generation, across all of this, the diversity and everything is really at the center of that is communication, okay?
Yeah.
And really understanding that and getting skilled in that area. And so when John did that book, and of course it's loaded with just all kinds of great stuff, and I know you're a big proponent of it, but you should have come out with that a little bit earlier. So some of the leaders could have faced this issue, you know, that they've got. So I know that you just brought up, hey, social media. So what's your favorite productivity hack? Now, I will tell you, this is coming from a millennial. So she's really, you know, put that in there because, you know, that speaks to generational, you know, what's the hack? Do you have one?
You know what? Right now, it's something I learned new. If I'm really thinking about it, it's something called Canva.
Oh yeah.
It's this. Yeah. It was new to me. Mm-hmm. You know, when I came into business and I've got to develop all of these things and I realized how much you could do. I love it. And you're just able to create your own brand and save things. I'm all about saving time. Yep. And I don't want to have to recreate anything. Either someone's already created, I can make my own, or I create one time and I can just kind of multiply.
Yep.
I think Canva is amazing.
Yep.
I've used it in so many different ways, and I've social media, whether it's a printed poster, whether it's a video, whether it's a presentation.
Right.
If folks don't know about Canva, they got to know. Like, run, don't. Like, it's really helpful.
Well, I saw Olivia shaking her head with that one. She goes, yeah, okay, we know about that one. You know, you mentioned something else about zero inbox. Why don't you share what that is with the audience?
So zero inbox, that's one of my old school things, right? But it works very well for me, again, about time. Because if you look at my inbox, it has 10 or less emails in them, right? Okay. And so I live by the do, delay, document, delegate, or delete methodology. And so if I get an email, I either respond to it, I delete it, I'll put it in another inbox that says, oh, okay, this is things I have to do.
Right.
And then, or it's something I need to know, so I'll save it for later.
Right.
That way, all the different appointments, the customers I have to see, I don't want to be delayed on any emails I owe anyone. And so if I have 200 or more in my inbox, that's going to be hard for me to keep up with. It's going to clutter my mind.
You can't get to it. And I'm of the same, you know, if it's something urgent, it's got to be taken care of right away. But most often I find that just because it's urgent on somebody else's plate, it's not, you know, it's more immediate, you know, than it is urgent for me. And to your point, just grabbing a hold of time management is huge for everybody today. I don't care who you are. You know, we only have 1,466 minutes in a day. You better get a hold of that, you know, and some of that's got to be devoted to sleep. And, you know, and you don't get it back. You know, you can't save it up. You can't push it in the next day. So that's a big one, you know, getting a hold. The other thing I would share with you is a hack that I found that really came into play probably about 5 to 8 years ago. And that's the power of no. Mm-hmm. When to say no, because I was just way over my skis, getting just overbooked and everything like that. And what I came to know, and a very dear friend of mine shared with me, is, you know, I'm a millimeter thick and a mile wide. And you end up disappointing a lot of people when you take on too much. So putting those boundaries up and knowing when to say no and all that has been a huge thing for me.
I'm proud to welcome Inbound Studio as a sponsor of Faith Marketplace. Marshall Mullett, the owner, has a mission to help businesses be more efficient and effective in getting results from their marketing technology. With their vast experience, Inbound Studio builds websites using inbound marketing methodology that provides a beautiful visitor experience that has them coming back for more. As a result, the company has evolved to be a premier provider of web technology services in the Midwest. I encourage you to check them out at www.inboundstudio.com.
Talk about a mentor. Do you have a mentor that you can talk about and what that mentor did for you in your career?
You know, I have several mentors, but the one that comes to my mind right now, I actually have an aunt, and she is a great leader. She's an executive director of a park district. And of course, she's been a mentor to me all of my life, right? Mm-hmm. And so a wonderful public speaker, you know, and speaking is part of my, you know, a part of my craft, part of my business. And so this is someone that I've always watched. And I love the way that she's so practical, so involved in the community. And she actually pushed me to run for the school board. I never would have thought that. So she is someone who helped me stretch. And I think that's so important to have in a mentor or someone that's, you know, is leading you. Is you've got to be able to get out of your comfort zone.
Yep.
And able to do that for me and help me really see like where I could serve in my community, you know?
Yeah. Don't hold back any truth. You know, if there's something you need to have, you know, the best coaches and mentors I have had in my career were people that could pat me on the back, kind of the old military philosophy, praise in public, reprimand in private. And I can tell you that I had both of those in healthy doses you know, growing up, you know, along with a, you know, a very conservative family that wasn't going to give me any leeway. How would you provide hope when people are facing challenges? And as you know, we're in a pretty challenging world right now. I mean, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. I mean, I can't believe the statistical information of, fear, anxiety, depression, everything else there is today. And then you've got all these other global things that are happening, and even within our own country. So how, Bensi, with your, you know, your service and how you're going to be, you're dealing with people, you know, and we've talked about this a lot, you know, that when are we going to get back to being human beings instead of human doings? And also that relationships really, really count, you know, and I mean real relationships, not just, you know, TikTok and all this other stuff that's going on. It's fine, but the fact of the matter is, you know, the reality of it is it's this human to human element that God has made us in his own image. And so how are we really utilizing it? And all the way through the church, everything, all the way through faith, all the way through history, you know, we talked about that before, is how do we do this relational thing, you know? So what's your thoughts on that?
Well, how do I want to provide hope for people that are facing challenges? And you mentioned fear a couple of times, and I want to share something, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard this, but for those that haven't, it's something that always sticks with me about what fear actually is.
Yep.
False evidence appearing real.
Right.
And once we realize that, we need to know that there is always a way through it.
Yep.
Even if we don't see it, whatever it is that we're facing, there's always a way through. And so remembering that we are part of something bigger and greater than ourselves is the key to having hope. Truly. Most often, it's the way that we're thinking about a situation that's the biggest challenge to overcome. The way that we're just thinking about it. So that's why we have to be intentional. Because in these seasons of hardship, we've got to seek out the right environment that will help us think correctly through our situation.
Right.
So whether it's surrounding ourselves with the right people who's going to have the right insight or experience to help, maybe it's reading or listening to the right material that can aid us in our thinking so we can take the best next step. But ideally, we have to constantly feed our minds and souls with kingdom truths in the good seasons.
Right.
So that way, when the difficult seasons come, our thinking can be clear and our minds at peace and our hearts firm in faith, so we can navigate our challenges knowing who's leading us through them.
Yep.
And that's everything. That's whether we're in work, in our relationships, in our marriages, you know, all sorts of stuff. I'll tell you, like, I had a huge, tremendous financial impact on my life in 2018 where I lost it all. Everything. And I didn't think I could recover from it. I didn't think there was a way out. It impacted my marriage, family, work, everything. My mind was often racing with negativity, thinking there wasn't a way out. And then someone came over and spoke words of truth in my life that I often think about. It changed my life. It changed my perspective. It ignited transformational living.
I love it.
And ultimately, if it changed my perspective, it changed my actions.
Yep.
And therefore, ultimately, within 1 year, we not only recovered from that tremendous debt this impact caused, but it elevated us financially in ways I've never imagined. And so today, my relationship with money and opportunity have completely changed.
Yep.
My faith was compounded, and I deal with hardships and challenges the way I did with that one. And that's why I say, like, I could have listened to those voices of negativity because it was fear. It's coming from this place of fear, right? Yep. Instead, I listened to my faith mentors. I listened to sermons. I kept my head just listening to those things until I started believing that.
Yeah.
And not negativity. And then the person that came over, what he said to me was, "You're putting God in a box." And when this financial, thing happened, my husband also lost his job.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was like one after another. And I said, "Don't put God in a box. He, who do you think has control of all of this money? Every money, piece of coin that is circulates in this globe. Who handles that? Don't you think he will make a way for you?"
Yep.
And I'm like, of course he will. Yeah, I mean, it changed something so simple.
Yeah.
Something so simple.
You're right.
Changed my thinking, changed my actions.
I don't know if I shared this with you too. We're in a very busy, busy lifestyle. And so this was a gift that was given to me earlier this year. Do you know what busy stands for?
What?
Write this one down. Being under Satan's yoke.
Ooh.
You know what the opposite of that is? Being under Savior's yoke.
Oh.
All right. What words of wisdom would you have given to, now I've given you some words of wisdom, what words of wisdom would you have given to your younger self?
Oh, listen to your intuition. Listen to the Holy Spirit in you. That's it. When you're young, a lot of times you have a feeling, you don't follow it, you follow the crowd. Don't make allowances or excuses for people or things that you know are not right. Like, listen to yourself. Listen to your Holy Spirit. That's what I would tell.
And it's a tough one because these kids are under so much pressure today, Bensie. I mean, you know, it's a whole different ballgame than when I grew up. Yeah, there was peer pressure and so on and so forth, but not to the scale there is today. Mm-hmm. You know, so that one is one that has to be reinforced. But I think it's through example with young people. Versus just talking at them or saying, "Hey, you know, you got to get out of this habit," or whatever the case might be. Last but not least is, what's interesting, cool, and funny about you? I want the audience to hear this one.
Oh my gosh, it was the time I think I almost ended up on Dateline. I think Brent and I talk about this all the time. Real quick, we travel together every year. We went to Jamaica, and I'm usually the one that, you know, has got things planned out and all of this, and she's like the spontaneous one. And, you know, we went, and my family is so used to going to Jamaica or India, and we'll just get a car to drive us around. And so it's something I'm used to. So I find a driver while she was in the bathroom, instead of going with the tour group that we were supposed to go to. I said, "No, we're going to go to this driver, and he's going to take us, and we're going to get jerk chicken, and we're going to do this." And she's like, "No, we're not. We can't go with this guy. This is awful. We don't know him." She's taking pictures of his driver's license, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, we go, have the best day ever for like 5 hours with this guy. And then he's like, "Oh, I'm going to take you somewhere. I'm going to take you somewhere so special." And he takes us like up this mountain, up and up and up. And we're like, "Oh my gosh, where are we going?" And all of a sudden we get to this big building, and there's people with you know, like AK-47s, right?
Whoa.
And I'm like, now I'm like, oh my gosh, are we going to end up on daily? Like, what's happening? And so they're speaking, and then the guy's like, "Okay, come on. And we're like holding hands, and we're looking at each other like, what's happening? Anyway, he ends up taking us to the rooftop of whatever office this was, and just to show us the best view in Jamaica. You could see the entire island. But in that moment, we sure did think we almost
Well, Ben, see, I can't tell you how delighted that I've had you back on in how the transformation has happened for you. And you're ignited. I love it. Folks, if you could see her smile, it will light up the whole city here. But, you know, I want to thank you for that. How do people get a hold of you if they'd like to get more information?
Yeah, bensi.beals@ignitetl.com stands for transformational living. So bensi.beals@ignitetl.com.
That's fabulous. And folks, we're going to be back here again next year. We're going to take a little bit of a break. And I want to share with you that we have got a big announcement coming up. So you're all just, we might have it leak it out a little bit, but there's going to be a huge announcement coming up for Faith Marketplace. And I'll tease you with that, okay? So here at Faith Marketplace, and go out there and hit the faithmarketplace.com. You know, we've got all the podcasts out there from, I don't know how many years we go back, but, you know, we've got it on Google, on iPlay, it's on Spotify now. Also, there's this little donation button up there. Now, I know this is the time of year that we're all trying to figure out how we can get through Christmas and New Year's and all that stuff, but that's how this ministry is run. So by the kindness and the gracious giving and donation, charitable giving, that's how we're able to keep this going. And it's been now going on 12 years, over 800 interviews. So God has got his hand on it, but we do need a little provisional help, okay? So we appreciate that. So hang in there with us. We'll be back here again, probably the beginning of January that we'll be back on again. And we've got a whole host of things happening and some really cool stuff we'll be sharing with you, okay? Have a blessed week.